Well, it is exactly 100 years to the day, today, the most infamous and well-known maritime disaster occurred. On April 10, 1912, the luxury ship RMS Titanic sailed from Southampton, England. Its destination was supposed to be New York in America. She carried 891 crew and 1,316 passengers. It was built with the latest technology of that period, and it was dubbed, in fact, the unsinkable ship. There was even an exchange overheard between a passenger and a crew in which the crew boasted, "Madam, God himself cannot sink the Titanic." But late in the evening of April 14, near Newfoundland, the ship grazed an iceberg, and in the early morning of April 15, the unsinkable ship sank in the North Atlantic on its very maiden voyage. More than 1,500 were dead. Well, one thing that it should teach us is the immaturity of pride and arrogance. These are sure marks of immaturity when found in the Christian life. Anumang mga kayabangan na maging tayo ay arugante sa ating pagtitiwala sa sarili, ilan ito sa mga marka ng kawalang maturidad sa mga mananampalataya. And Christians must aspire to be mature, and aspiring to be mature includes, among other things, mortifying those chief sins, the sin of pride, the sin of arrogance. And we are in a series of expositions of that portion of Scripture which portrays the maturity of the Apostle Paul. And as I've explained again and again in the past, 2 Corinthians 10 to 13 are quite different from the first 9 chapters of 2 Corinthians for one reason. Because after a confrontation between Paul and the Corinthian church, and he sent a letter through Titus, when Titus reported back to the Apostle Paul, Paul heard first the joyous news that the majority of the church repented. Nagsisi yung karamihan sa iglesia ng Corinto dahil sa kanilang pag-abuso dito kay Pablo. At natuwa doon si Pablo, at ang first 9 chapters of 2 Corinthians, we can say, are directed to them, and they are characterized by gentle tone, very encouraging, and such exhortation as affirming love to those who have repented. However, part of the news of Titus was that there was still a significant minority. I say significant minority because many of them were in leadership. And this minority were adamant as far as their rebellion against Paul. So 2 Corinthians 10 to 13 are addressed to these people. And I say that it is when dealing with people in a rather confrontational way that our maturity is much more tested. And that's why I say that this portion of the letter to the second letter of Paul to the Corinthians is a challenge to our maturity. And we are in that part where Apostle Paul is reluctantly explaining, or rather explaining, his reluctant boasting. As I've said, boasting as used here is not what we call bragging. Boasting here is in the sense of finding glory. And Paul's boasting, he explained, is ultimately in the glory of the Lord. However, because of the folly of this immature group in the Corinthian church, Paul found himself being compelled to boast. And yet, even as he did so, he was very reluctant. In fact, in chapter 11, we meet with that other word which becomes frequent in this portion of the letter. Besides boasting, the other word that becomes frequent here is foolish. Apostle Paul felt foolish having to do this, but he was left with no choice. And because of this, he is explaining the actual boasting will begin in chapter 11, verse 16. And we are in the part of the first 15 verses where Apostle Paul is laying the ground. Pinapaliwanag niya bakit kinakailangan niyang magmapuri. Dahil sa pinilit siya, dala ng maling saloobin nitong mga guro dito sa Corinto, napilitan siya, pero gusto niyang maliwanag sa mga babasa ng sulat na ito na hindi ito voluntaryong pagmamapuri. It is a forced boasting. as far as Paul is concerned, which he would do or he would begin doing in 11:16. But we are in the part where Paul is explaining and laying the ground why he had to do this reluctant boasting. And we saw in 11:1-4 the explanation in terms of godly jealousy. That because of that godly jealousy, he felt for Christ, picturing himself as the father of the bride, the church being the bride, and he is desirous to bring the bride chaste to the bridegroom, the Lord Jesus Christ. So there is that godly jealousy. And as I said, one mature assessment of ministry is the exercise of a godly jealousy. But now we begin with something of a very direct criticism by Paul now of these leaders in Corinth. Let us now turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and we'll read verses 5 to 6. 2 Corinthians 11, verses 5 to 6. I consider that I am not in the least inferior to these super apostles. Even if I am unskilled in speaking, I am not so in knowledge. Indeed, in every way we have made this plain to you in all things. Now, for the first time, Paul is using here a stinging description of his opponents. Mataalas ang salitang binitiwan dito ni Apostol Pablo. Tinawag niya itong mga kalaban niya na mga super apostles. There are interpreters who take this to mean that the opponents were actually consulting the apostles in Jerusalem over against Paul. And therefore, the super apostles were Peter, James, and John. And Paul is attempting to defend himself as equal to Peter, James, and John. I don't think so. It is very unlikely. Rather, the opponents are themselves claiming apostleship greater than Paul's. And thus, in conceding that, rather by way of argument, Apostle Paul calls them, all right, you are super apostles. The comparison that now Paul makes is on their speech, or rather what comparison they were boasting was that they were superior in speech than Paul's. Now what Paul does in response is by asserting his knowledge. This is my message. A mature appreciation of ministry measures its impartation of spiritual knowledge. Ang pagpapahalaga sa ministeryo ng may maturidad ay sinusukat ang nakakamit na kaalamang espiritual. How do we say we appreciate with maturity a ministry? A mature appreciation of ministry measures its impartation of spiritual knowledge. The opponents of Paul in Corinth are boasting of their training, most presumably in rhetorics. Rhetorics was a popular study in those days. And rhetoricians were considered the entertainers of the day. If they can hold an audience with their eloquence, whether emotional or humorous, they are the entertainers of that period. Sila yung mga tinuturing na mga celebrity, yung mga rhetorician. And these people in Corinth were boasting, they were trained in rhetorics unlike the Apostle Paul. And based on that superiority, they assailed the qualification of Paul. But over against that, Paul raises the issue of knowledge. And there are two things to say concerning knowledge as imparted by ministry. First, knowledge is more important than skills. Knowledge is more important than skills. Ang kaalaman ay higit na mahalaga kaysa kahusayan. And secondly, knowledge must be pervasive through faith. Ang kaalaman ay dapat na pumupuno sa pananampalataya. So these are the two things that Paul asserts even as he is facing the criticism of the opponents assailing his lack of rhetorical training. Apostle Paul asserts his knowledge. The first thing then to emphasize is that knowledge is more important than skills. Listen to Paul. Even if I am unskilled in speaking, I am not so in knowledge. Now, this is not to be taken as an admission. Apostle Paul was not untrained in speech. But he is here using an argumentative device that says, granting without admitting. Granting the criticism of the opponents that I am untrained in speech. But one thing that should be obvious is that I am not inferior in knowledge. Now, in the earlier letter, in 1 Corinthians, Apostle Paul acknowledged the good partnership of the skill of speaking and of knowledge. Kapag nakikita natin sa isang pinagkalooban ng Diyos, yung magkasamang mahusay na pananalita at may kaalaman, napakagandang pagtatambal niyan. Isang bagay ito na hindi natin winawalang bahala ang kahusayan sa pananalita na maaring kaloob ng Diyos. This is something that we do not assail at all. In 1 Corinthians 1:5, he said, "In every way, you were enriched in Him in all speech and all knowledge." Eh, pinagsama niya, pinagtambal niya ang kaalaman at ang kausayan sa pananalita. At tayo man, sa isang tinatawag sa ministeryo, binabalanse ang bagay na yan. But for Paul, when pushed, as in this present case, he knew that between the two, there is a priority. Kung ipagtulakan ang issue para sa kanya, maliwanag kay Pablo, may prioridad sa dalawang ito. The mature believer gives prior value to the knowledge of the truth of the Word of God more than skills. That's the point of the Apostle Paul. It is very common to mistake maturity for dominance in speech. People who can out-talk anybody are the ones thought to be the leader type. Kapag merong dominante sa pagsasalita, lagi niyang dominado ang anumang grupo pag nag-usap na, madaling ipagkamali na ito ay kahusayan sa pagka-liderato. So they are the natural leaders. Do not make that mistake. One character in Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress that is always a warning to me is named Talkative. Talkative can out-talk anybody. Ask him any question, he is omnicompetent. He can answer any theological question. But he lacked true and genuine experience. And that big mistake is still very prevalent today. To misidentify skill or gift as grace, it is not. Yung kaloob, magandang magkaroon ng kaloob. Kausayan, gusto natin magkaroon ng mga mahusay na kakayahan. Subalit wag nating ipagkamali ang kausayan sa biyaya. Gift is not grace. Paul is not one to diminish the value of gifts. He has sections in his letters that address the subject of gifts. One qualification that he insists a minister must have, he says in 1 Timothy 3, is that he must be apt to teach. That is, he has the ability to teach. And if ability to teach is part of ministerial qualification, I suppose that includes the ability to speak. Kaya hindi natin minamaliit ang kausayan sa pagsasalita. In our Grace Ministerial Academy, we try to balance this requisite for ability and skills with the necessity of knowledge. But if there is to be a priority, when because of gift, knowledge is compromised, Paul makes himself very clear. The super apostles, Paul concedes, are super speakers. But in knowledge, Paul scores them as illiterate. In ministry, imparting knowledge is prior to the skill and gift of speech. Make that point very clear. Knowledge is primary. Ang kaalaman ay pangunahin sa Kristiyanong may maturidad. And the reason for the giving of ministry is to impart knowledge as a primary benefit. The minister is first and foremost a teacher. He is not a rabble-rouser, not a rhetorician. Now, the charge of the opponents in Corinth is contained in the word unskilled. This is the word we got the English idiot from its Greek original. But back then, it did not have yet the sense that it has today. Most likely, it simply means amateur. And what they were saying of Paul is that compared to us professionals, Paul is amateur. So that's their criticism. The detractors were staking their claim of superiority on account of their skills. They are gifted people. But over against that, Paul raises the issue of knowledge as the first measure of effective ministry. Ang unang sukatan ng mabisang ministeryo ay kung paano itong nakapamamahagi ng kaalaman. That's what we were singing, Spirit Divine, illumine me. That's the first quest. When you sit under a ministry, the first measure is, does he impart to me spiritual knowledge? This is maturity. This is a clear distinction between the mature and the immature knowledge of the Word of God. Listen to Hebrews 5:13 and 14. Everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. So who is the mature? Who is the immature? It's knowledge of the word. Now, let me make myself clear. Not just knowledge of the word. There must be the application of the word. But before you can apply anything, you must have knowledge of the word. That's why it's primary. Kaya unang bagay itong dapat na isipin na nandoon sa tamang lugar ang kaalaman. Kapag nawala iyon, ay niwalang paglago sa ating pagkakristiyano. The wreckage of the Titanic was discovered in 1985. And there they saw something that discredited the long theory that the iceberg cut a long gash on the hull of the ship. What was discovered in 1985 is that there were just small gashes, except that they were on the watertight compartments, meaning because even of the small hole, water entered into the ship. And that was all that was needed for the ship, the unsinkable ship, to sink. So with knowledge, if our knowledge is compromised and you content yourself with gift, you will sink. So seek after and be supportive of that ministry that imparts to you spiritual knowledge. And here I want to remind you that I am using the word spiritual with a capital S. I'm referring to the knowledge imparted by the Holy Spirit. When knowledge is from the Holy Spirit, it will primarily be knowledge of the Word of God, which of course to us means biblical knowledge. Kung ang kaalaman ay bigay ng banal na Espiritu, ito ay pangunahing kaalaman ng salita ng Diyos na tumutukoy ngayon sa nakasulat na sa Biblia. Paul's comparison of his ministry with that of his opponents is based on the priority of knowledge. Yes, good speech is good. It can inspire on an immediate instance with emotional and inspiring effects. But after that, it's gone without knowledge. I will not belittle the power of speech. It is part of my vocation. But my vocation that uses the power of speech is a power not primarily to stimulate emotionally, but to teach truths, to persuade of the biblical teaching. So the question to ask is, are you learning from the word through the ministry that is carried?